Hello, everyone.
Hello, guys.
Welcome to another episode.
Yes, indeed. So today's episode, we talked about basically what to do after you get a physics degree.
Mm-hmm.
This one can actually kind of be applied to, you know, even science degrees in general or even engineering.
Yeah.
So we just try to give you guys a couple hacks and tips to see what you can do after that.
We kind of covered some interesting ground. I kind of opened up with a real funny icebreaker about an esteemed figure in the physics community. Kind of came in the news recently.
Yeah.
Well, his family did, and we just had a little bit of a what would you call it?
A gossip.
Gossip.
Yeah,
gossip. It was physics gossip. And then we got into the meat, right? The meat and potatoes, which is the main topic, which is, you know, what do I do after physics?
Right. So hopefully there's some useful things in there, guys. Mm-hmm. So just make sure to, once again, like, comment, subscribe, share this video, and make sure you check out our Twitter at EigenBros. Mm-hmm. Check out the website, EigenBros.com.
Yeah.
If you're an audio listener, we are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple, all those platforms. And also, guys, check out the new TikTok that we have out. So I'm going to try to be more active on TikTok there, too. We'll put some of our video clips on there.
Yeah, tell them Death Grip sent you over here. No, but also make sure to hit the notification icon, actually, and share with your friends. Share the podcast with your friends, physics friends. If you have them out there, just be like, hey, these two guys think they're cool, you know, I don't know.
they hate us.
or you hate us, or you love to hate us, and, you know, the hate flows through you strongly enough where you're just like, check out these real
douchebags
guys or whatever. And that either way, love or hate, baby, just bring them our way, you know.
But either way, we love and appreciate you guys, so
yes,
stick around.
Thank you. Hello, welcome.
No, you gotta give a 3, 2, 1.
Oh, my, you have a 3, 2, 1. Bam, 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 bam.
Ooh, that was a solid one.
Welcome to another episode of EigenBros.
That was real nice and deep there, Juan.
This is purely fabricated.
You sound like a newscaster now.
Nothing on here is true, or everything that can be heard here is inflammatory, and I don't know what the fuck. This is like a, you know, trigger warning.
Yeah.
Not a trigger warning. What is it called? Parental
advisory. Yeah. We probably need that for this podcast.
The original trigger warnings.
Right.
What are they called? What were they called? Not parental advisory. What was it?
I thought it was a parental advisory, parental guidance or something.
Yeah, where it was like...
Or explicit.
Viewer discretion is advised.
There we go. There we go.
Viewer discretion.
Yeah.
Anyway, this next story is a little bit interesting that I wanted to surprise Terrence with.
Oh,
did you hear about the headlines
right off the bat
for this? Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I can't even see it.
I can't read it either. Just to kind of warm it up. This says, girl dwarf whose adopted mom claims is, quote unquote, adult who tried to kill her.
Oh, I saw a clip of this on Joe Rogan.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a little midget lady.
Uh-huh.
Sorry if I offended anyone. I don't know if any midgets watch this podcast. No offense, but it's like this little lady...
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Little lady. You can probably put a picture up. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put the picture up on the podcast. You just save that link for me after the show.
This family named the Barnetts, believe it or not. They.
Oh, shit. Like Jacob.
Those are his parents.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. Now I see why this is relevant. I was like, why is Juan bringing this up? But okay.
Yeah, apparently this is the same Barnett family, I think.
Holy fuck, dude.
If the reports are true, yeah. This is the same family. Adopted this girl with a metabolic condition.
Well, damn.
And turns out this lady is at least 22 years old. At least that's what doctors reported. And she was pretending to be a child. And...
I guess she could kind of pass. She looks like she could pass for like 18 or 19.
Dude, she looks 20. She looks 20-something.
Well, how old is she trying to pass for?
I think 12 years old or something.
Oh, well, that's just, come on.
Yeah. In 2010, they thought she was about 8 years old, the doctors.
Wow.
But then they legally changed her age to 22 and have since they got like a room or something, an apartment for her, and then they just left. They moved back to Canada or something.
So they just abandoned her. Yeah. And well, I mean, they got her like, room.
Yeah.
Why does she try to kill them?
I don't know. They say that it's a condition. It's like a, I don't know. It's a psychological thing.
Wow, dude.
So I think then what these about are the Barnetts, man. I don't know. Jacob Barnett. I don't know what he's doing.
How did you find out if it was actually the Barnett family that's related to Jacob, though?
There was a rumor that this was a rumor.
Come on, Juan. Where's your hard-hitting journalism?
We're spinning the wheels here, guy. Like, you know what I mean? This is journalism nowadays.
But you could easily find this out. I mean, I've seen Jacob's mother on tons of news segments with Jacob when he was a kid. So do they show pictures of the family?
Yeah, the mom's right here.
Let's see. Let me see her.
Hold on.
Oh, I think that kind of looks like... I know she has blonde hair, and I know she's kind of a chubbier lady.
Yeah. Yep.
Find out, go to like, type in Jacob Barnett, his mother, in Google.
All right, here we go, folks.
We can debunk this quickly if we...
Jamie, pull that video up. Barnett.
Yeah.
Mother, here we go, guys. This is hard hitting journalism right here. Yeah, look.
See, it looks like her, doesn't it?
It looks like her.
Pull a big picture up for me just to see. I'll put this on the podcast.
Yeah, it looks like her, man. That looks like her, dude.
It does, doesn't it? I'd go back to the one online.
On the article?
Yeah, on the article. Dude, that could be her, man.
No, that's dead on, my
that
brother.
Could be her.
That's dead on.
I think that's her.
She's got
age. How did you fucking figure it was Jacob, though? Where'd this rumor come from?
In my head, man. I made the rumor up.
No, Juan. There's Barnett is a very common
I really did.
Last
I know,
name.
But I really did. But
but how could you?
I was like, I think it's the same Jacob Barnett kid.
Because of where they're from?
Yeah, I was just like, oh, maybe it's, I think it's a Barnett family.
Because you know, Jacob, I'm pretty sure Jacob goes to the Theoretical Institute in Waterloo, Canada.
There you go.
Damn,
folks,
dude. That's crazy, man.
So yeah, this is some very interesting physics-related.
This is the first time it's been said.
Like, I get breaking story here, folks. Jacob Barnett,
that's cool,
child prodigy physicist. I just broke it right now. Breaking news.
That would be pretty badass if you actually did one. I didn't even think about that.
Anyway, that's like physics-related gossip stuff.
I'm going to have to watch that Joe Rogan clip now to see what he says.
It's just mind-boggling to me that this happened to a very prominent family in the physics community.
Right. Well, I guess hopefully Jacob was studying...
Hopefully not affected
by
this.
Not trying to get
this.
Killed by some 22-year-old sociopath. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Interesting. So there we go.
So
let's top it off.
I hope that was a good icebreaker there for
it
a
was.
Second. So I wanted to kind of talk about... Oh, well, you wanted to talk about a very interesting topic, I guess, for some people. I know that this is a common question among... like people like in the Ask Physics Reddit community.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do after you grad? What can I do after I graduate?
Right. We literally see this all the time. This is a question I had. You know, everybody kind of goes through this at some point, you know, whether you're a science physics major or not. Yeah. I guess the question is here, what do you do after you get your physics degree? And really this podcast can even pertain to people who are in the sciences adjacent to physics a lot of times, because there is so much interdisciplinary overlap between like engineering, you know, chemistry, physics, biology, all of these STEM kind of fields, mathematics, maybe even. So it's kind of a topic that applies to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess I just kind of wanted to give people some tips or maybe like even some hacks, you know, and some guidance on what they can do after they actually graduate from, you know, from their physics institution or whatever it may be. And I guess, Juan, we can kind of start it off with you, man. What did you have any, well, let me ask you this. When you were an undergraduate in physics, do you remember like a question that was really let me think of how I can say this. A question that you had that never really got answered until you became a graduate student that you wish you would have known in undergraduate.
how to do, like,
pertaining to specifically the job market and getting finding a job or something afterward.
Pertaining to the job market, I wish I kind of coded. I wish I kind of coded more, because that's like a really highly valued right now, like in any particular field, I think. But it's like data science. You know, you mine a lot of data. Companies just want to know how to categorize data and stuff like that. So they need somebody who knows some kind of coding language. And for me, I only knew MATLAB.
Mm.
And MATLAB has some limitations. It's mostly used in kind of niche little projects. Each coding language has its own perks.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to pick one that's kind of tailored to your project in a lot of ways. But I just took a general course, and I have some.
Oh, so you did take a general course on MATLAB.
MATLAB, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did really well, but I don't know. Learning some kind of coding language is pretty easy for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's interesting you say MATLAB, because, well, for some of you who don't know, I'm currently unemployed. I'm really not trying to be employed. I'm trying to do whatever I possibly can to not ever be employed again. I'm kind of on the entrepreneurial track, but of course, that's really just code for unemployed. So.
No, but it's interesting. It's like unemployed and looking. No, a looking for, what is it? How would you say it? Because unemployed, because you can be unemployed and not looking.
Yeah, I'm kind of like unemployed and I've got my finger dipped in the employment pool. Yeah. But I'm not really invested in heavily trying to find some career.
You're trying to find your own thing.
Yeah. It's like a last ditch effort. If I'm like, I have no more money, I need to just find a job quickly.
Yeah.
But the job, so what I do is I put my resume on job boards. So for those of you who haven't started applying for jobs at all yet and you're completely new, there are job boards out there like Indeed or Monster.com that you've probably heard of. There's probably some other ones. Glassdoor is a useful one to find out salaries.
LinkedIn's a popular one.
Well, LinkedIn, it really isn't a job board. It's more of like a social media platform for people finding jobs and also employers. We can maybe get into that a little later.
Sure.
But I wanted to just say that one of the skills that I get callbacks a lot of times is for MATLAB. So they'll call me up and say like, oh, we see that you have XYZ MATLAB experience. You know, I don't have any MATLAB experience, really. I have less than like a year's worth of MATLAB experience. Yeah. And they're like, okay, this job here requires like 3 to 4 years of MATLAB experience. And then they call me about it. And I'm like, okay, send me the information and I might apply for it. I usually don't apply for it. But that just shows you that MATLAB is a useful skill for people who are employers looking for scientists in industry.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah,
I like that tip. So programming was actually one of the things I had listed on my list there. For me, I actually learned C++ was probably my real first programming language. So I've learned programming before that with the TI-83 calculator. I don't know if I've talked about that yet or not.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it one time.
Yeah, but that's literally called BASIC. Of course, you can do assembly in TI-83, but that was a little bit too advanced for me at the time. But C++ was a real first scripting language I learned. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good one to learn, I think, for when you're starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it teaches you like the basic syntax of object-oriented programming.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what object-oriented programming is, it's not too big of a deal. But it's just a way to organize things in a programming language where you're basically creating like objects.
Yeah.
If you don't understand, that's okay. But it's just a kind of an architecture for how the programming works. That's a really good one. I would definitely recommend highly to people if they're starting out with programming.
Yeah.
And one of the nice things about programming is once you know how to do it, do one set of programming, you pretty much know a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So when you learn C++, you know Python, you can kind of know C#, you can know Java. It's just the syntax that changes usually.
Yeah. Even for me, I had humble beginnings. You had your TI-85 or whatever.
83.
Or, you know, TI-01, depending on how old you are. Yeah, why is it TI-85? Is that the year it came out, maybe? Probably, right?
I honestly don't know, man. Yeah. I know the TI-89 was like the shit. That was the one I really wanted.
That's the one that came up when we were probably starting.
Yeah. That was the one that did integrals and shit.
Yeah.
That was like,
was
if you
cool.
were badass, you had the 89, but nobody had that except for like one kid.
It was, I had humble beginnings. I used to do HTML. You know, back in the MySpace
era, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
you had your
like
name,
a hacker.
You had one in bedazzled letters.
Yeah. I used to make you know, a glitter come down on your webpage, you know what I'm saying?
No. I used to be the kid who had the annoying music when you would go into the page.
Yeah, just autoplays?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I had a script that just literally shut it off every time. It was just like, nah,
you're tired of going to people's pages?
I don't want to listen to people's music. Dude, I just want to see photos. Yeah. And I fucked around a lot with HTML. And that was kind of like my introduction to programming.
I see.
In some way. And then...
That's how a lot of kids, I think, got their start
in our
being
age.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people in our age bracket became like semi low tier web developers from MySpace.
Yeah.
Learning how to put all your little shit on your page and bedazzling it out.
Or how to have a picture in a certain place on your web page.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah. You learn how to modify scripts to like give you, the desired outcome. The customization aspect made it to where like you're like, okay, if I want this, I need to learn how to like do this. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, there's not a lot of that nowadays, but
no, it's so much easier now to make your stuff.
Everything's neatly packaged,
or it's just like you don't have that much freedom over your page like MySpace gave you.
Nah, Tumblr's probably the closest thing, but that's been like, bam. It's been dead for
a while. Because they lost all the porn or something on Tumblr.
Yeah, I don't know. Yahoo, they handed it over to Yahoo, and Yahoo was like, we don't know. I mean, Yahoo's
been
kind of
irrelevant. They threw it in the garbage, like everything they do.
Yahoo, just throw it in. Just give it up. Unless you want to hire my friend Terrence.
if it's a real nice cushy job and I don't have to.
CEO, do you think you could turn around Yahoo?
Yeah.
You think you could?
Could I turn around Yahoo?
Turn around
no,
Yahoo.
No, I'm not that cocky. Hell no. I'd have to do a lot of learning.
Yeah, no, but yeah, anyway, it's, once you learn some language, it's a lot easier to kind of translate that structure into all these other languages.
Right.
So
that would be, I guess, kind of like a thing you should learn. You could learn as a practical skill to get a job.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, let me add this. If you don't have that, there's a lot of community colleges that offer these certification programs. So if you're kind of in a place where you're like, okay, fine, I need programming. I have maybe I took a semester. I have buddies of mine who took Fortran. Which is completely irrelevant. I mean, it's only really relevant in research.
If you're a physicist, though, Fortran actually will serve you a lot of times because the old-ass professors still use that shit.
A lot of theory guys. If you're in theory, a lot of theory guys still use Fortran, so you're in luck. But if you're not in theory and you want to go into commercial space, Fortran is probably not going to be it. So.
But it does teach you functional programming.
Yes.
Which is useful.
I mean, you walk away with that at the very least. But if you have an option to take a course somewhere about a programming language, use some of the more marketable ones like
C++, Python, Java,
MATLAB,
database one, MATLAB.
Yeah.
Even LabVIEW is kind of useful to know. That's another one I get callbacks from. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit different because it's more of a drag and drop visual programming.
Yes.
It's definitely useful to know, though, if you want to go into industry.
Yes, LabVIEW is very good. LabVIEW is kind of an esoteric one because a lot of people don't know that it's... I mean, I found out about it when I came into grad school. I was like, oh, what the hell is LabVIEW?
Well, that one's one of those ones, since it is esoteric to like the general public, and you usually only learn it once you go into school, I've gotten already three job offers just from the LabVIEW I have on my resume.
Nice. Yeah. Well, LabVIEW is a sort of, just to give you kind of a primer for some people out there, it lets you build like sort of pseudo circuits in a way. It's just kind of like a diagrammatic view of how to build sort of logic, gates and stuff to make a self-contained program to run something. Like say you want to communicate one instrumentation to the other. It helps you do that.
So for example, if you wanted to use your PC to run your toaster, you could use MATLAB to control that.
I mean, LabVIEW.
Oh, LabVIEW. Yeah.
Yeah, you could. You could do that if you wanted to. So, but it's an important skill in industry, obviously. But yeah, I would say a lot of community colleges, they offer certification programs. And if you're stuck, if you say you graduate with your bachelor's and you're like, what am I going to do? I need more programming. I need to diversify my programming portfolio. Then see what your local community colleges have to offer, because I know a lot of universities don't. They don't offer certification programs for whatever freaking reason, which is, I think, is ridiculous. But yes, take a class, you know, take it while you're working and stuff, and you know, boost up your CV.
Right, right.
And that'll help a lot. So
cool. Let's continue moving on. What skills could you, or what things do you think people should know about preparing for a job, though? So besides like programming, I guess we should talk about like what kinds of fields people can actually go into and things like that, and what they can do to prepare. And so like what jobs do you know of, I guess maybe even your friends have gone to with a physics degree?
I had a friend of mine, he went to work for Fisher Scientific, I think as a technician, as a electron microscope technician.
Okay. So it sounds like he needs some hardware experience with that, though.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't think he had a lot of lab experience, but I guess he made it work somehow. And then a lot of my friends went to grad school, but the ones that didn't, I think, were kind of, I mean, it's you kind of can go all over the place. A lot of other people went into like data stuff. One guy wanted to be like a, what is it called? An actuary science guy.
Okay. Yeah.
He just wanted to make money.
So actuaries, for people not familiar, is like, you kind of are like a future teller. You make predictions about things. And
do you have a lot of math tools? It's like basically you're a statistician with a lot of math tools.
Yeah. But you're making like predictions about things.
Yeah. So you're commonly employed in industries like insurance and, you know, insurance probably.
Because insurance, they're trying to evaluate risk.
Yeah.
So you need to have equations to figure out how to evaluate these risks. Yeah. So you're trying to predict if people are going to be a high risk in this scenario or not.
Yeah. And yeah, so you need to be comfortable with like multiple variables. And
right,
stuff.
Right.
So yeah, it's and by the way, if you're stuck with the bachelor's and you're like, maybe I just want to make money, actuary science is not that bad. You just have to take a test.
Right,
You have to take a test, you pass it, and you're almost like making 100K a year just from
that. The pass rate's probably low though, I'd imagine.
I think as a physicist you're well suited to maybe pass.
Okay.
I will say.
Yeah, actually, it reminds me of another job that's kind of a, I have on the list here of kind of some jobs that are a little bit, maybe you wouldn't
within
think
reach.
About.
Yeah.
Well, jobs you wouldn't think about, and they are ones that you could get with a bachelor's degree.
Yeah, so flipping burgers at McDonald's.
You calculate the angular momentum of the flip.
Yeah, it's the best flip you can get on a burger for the perfect sizzle.
Anyway. That's putting your degree to use right there.
Shit, that's sad. 2019. Anyway.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
But no, one of the jobs I got on there is actually a patent agent. So I actually have a girl from my school who became, I think she became actually a patent attorney, though. Mm-hmm. But you can be a patent agent as well, which are basically the people who kind of they need to oversee these patents that come through. Mm-hmm. And then I guess they'll either deny or accept whether the patent is actually feasible to do, and then they grant you the patent or not.
Yeah.
And that just requires, interestingly enough, just a degree in science, a science field. So if you have an engineering degree, a physics degree or chemistry or anything like that, you can actually apply to be a patent agent. You just have to take their exam, which does have a low pass rate, but if you study for it and you're prepared, then you can pass the exam and then you can become a patent agent.
Nice.
So that's an interesting one, and I think they have pretty decent salaries.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be a patent attorney, that's another option, except you need a law degree for that. So that means back to school, and then you got to pass the bar exam as well.
Yeah.
So that will be like a kind of a longer route, maybe an 8+ year route.
Dang.
But
if you want to, I mean, that's another route you can take.
Yeah.
But did I answer your question?
Yeah. Did you have any more?
Any more what?
Any more jobs, job fields
that people
jumped
can
go into after a physics degree? Maybe not necessarily like they had to, your friends, but anything that you might think of.
I mean, I wanted to, my backup plan was to become a technician.
What kind of technician?
A fiber optic technician.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Which is Terrence's also plan, I guess.
Yes, that wasn't a plan for me.
Oh, that wasn't a plan.
It was just it was a plan that occurred randomly. So
okay, so it wasn't a plan.
Yeah, so I can actually talk about it. So for those of you who don't know, I actually became a fiber optic technician right after undergraduate. So I was pretty much burnt to a fucking crisp after physics, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm giving up.
Yeah.
I'm going into an industry now. And I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to do grad school. So I went into a career fair. So this is another tip for you guys when you're actually trying to find jobs. I highly, highly, highly recommend career fairs because people get to, one, A, they get to see your face, and then B, they actually get to... You kind of, I don't know if it puts you on the top of the stack, but you're putting yourself into the job market at an opportune time because if there are employers at the career fair, that means they're actively looking for people for those positions.
Yeah.
So then you maximize your ability to get hired much easier. So I was probably the only one in my class that got immediately hired to a job directly after undergraduate because I went to the career fair. And really all I did was I memorized a couple facts from that job and then just regurgitated it to the girl there, and she was all impressed, and that's how I got the job, essentially. I didn't know anything about fiber optic. Well, I knew the physics of fiber optics, but I didn't know anything about what the technician job entailed. Anyway, long story short, I became a fiber optic tech, and that shit was boring as fuck. So I was basically just like a guy who would clean fibers all day. It was interesting, the physics, but...
you don't necessarily need. One of Terrence's main funny stories, at least that he relayed to me, because I never got into that position, was there were people in there that weren't necessarily at the same caliber of education as he was.
Yeah, you're going to be very overqualified for the position. Because you'll know all of the intricacies
for tech jobs, you're saying.
Yeah. You'll be very theoretically heavily way above the rest.
Yeah.
And it's very much a blue collar type job. So you'll be working for people who might not necessarily have college degrees, even like undergraduate degrees. So that can also be a thing that might hurt you a little bit. But the thing is, I say don't worry too much about that just coming out of school because you're still a kid who doesn't really know much anyway. So just getting your feet wet in a job might be beneficial.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit painful for me because I was having to deal with a lot of things where the system was just very not... there was a lot of mistakes I thought that were kind of... didn't need to be made.
Yeah. But that's just, I think, you being educated in a thing. But these are a lot of, like, technician jobs. A lot of tech jobs are typically contracted from big companies and stuff.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that. And depending on your level of, like, satisfaction with being intellectually challenged, then you may not find it, like, just...
Too appealing.
Too appealing, yeah.
But the interesting thing about that fiber optic job was what I was trying to do, what my plan was when I was there, was to try to get into one of the bigger companies through there.
Ah,
so you could maybe finagle your way. So the thing is, this is the great thing about just trying to get into anywhere.
Yeah.
You can sometimes finagle your way into other places. This wasn't successful for me, but we did contracts with Google and Facebook, both. So they actually asked us to put in our resumes and things for getting to work on those certain projects. If you were able to get in the door, you could potentially meet people from Google or Facebook and then actually work for them.
Yeah.
So I never got to do it, though, because they rejected my application since I didn't have any I didn't have a credit history. So you needed a credit history for some reason.
That's weird.
I don't know why they required that. There's probably some weird reason. I'm not sure.
Like, we're going to give you this much money. We want you to be responsible. No, I don't know.
I didn't really understand what it was for, but they needed to do a credit check. But at that time, I never used credit cards when I was that age. So I didn't have any credit history, but
so get a credit card, use promo code Eigenbros and check out.
I wish.
Chase something. I actually do have, hey, if you're interested, message me. I have a Chase account.
Oh, and you get like a points
friend
of view.
Referral code. There you all go. Right. So if you're seriously thinking about starting your credit history, let me know.
You just need to give me the code, Juan. I'll put it on the podcast, man.
Just
for real.
Put it up. It's just like, use this promo code.
Right.
Nah, for real. Let me know.
That was one of the funner parts of getting a job is learning credit card hacking. I feel like I got
whoa,
pretty damn
credit
good at
card
credit
hacking. What the fuck do you mean by that? This is potentially incriminating and very fraudulent behavior, Terrence.
I'm not talking like 4chan hacking. I'm talking about like fucking, you know, you get your credit card and then you can maximize your benefits.
This is okay. This is one of those life hacks.
Yeah, man.
You're saying getting, what are they called? Using companies' own sort of advertised benefits, but in your to skew towards the consumer's favor.
Exactly. Yeah. So when I was doing fiber optic, I got really good at actually maximizing my benefits. Mm-hmm. So you remember how when I would have free hotel stays
and everything,
that was from all the years of me collecting and accumulating points from credit cards and flights
Insane.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's really, it gets really fun when you get into a job and you can kind of like figure out ways to maximize your vacation benefits and whatnot.
Yeah,
I was all about just trying to get so many vacations as much as possible. So that would be like getting free flights or free hotels.
Yeah.
And there's all kind of tricks. I won't go too much into there because that's kind of like, that could be a whole other podcast.
It's probably already, most of them are probably plugged in already, the holes.
Yeah. One of the guys I like a lot to watch was Credit Card Shifu. Maybe I can put his thing on the YouTube. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so anyway, those are a couple jobs. So as a physicist, you can get jobs. So I'll just read what the things you can do. You can get jobs in engineering. Mm-hmm. You can get computer science jobs. You can get computer like admin jobs. You can get, of course, you can get physics jobs. That's the kind of the one that you have in your mind probably. You can be an entrepreneur. You can do teaching jobs, finance, consulting. So, I mean, there's a plethora of things you can actually do. You know, a lot of people who go into physics actually don't even do jobs related to physics.
No.
Or even non-STEM jobs.
The statistics are really sad, actually.
Yeah. It's like 26% or something don't do it.
Yeah, it's...
at least according to the last video I watched, Physics Girl has a video on it. Physics Girl has a good video on it, and then also Tibby's has a video on it as well. Mm-hmm. And even Andrew Dodson has one, too. So if you guys want to check those out, those are much shorter, like 5-minute long videos.
Yeah. But no, I speaking on one of those positions, engineering, a lot of us physicists are targeted by engineering groups, not engineering groups, but engineering companies, mm-hmm. right? So one, for instance, Texas Instruments. I had a buddy of mine who whose dad worked at Texas Instruments, TI, in Austin, and that was going to be my follow-up. If I didn't get into any grad school, I was going to go apply there and probably get a position. But the thing is,
that's another point to make real quick, Juan.
Yeah. Oh,
who you know, man.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Who you know is really, if you want to ignore everything else on this list, know as many fucking people as you possibly can.
Make friends. Okay. Yeah. That's really what
we'll
talking about.
We'll get into
about.
That more later, but that's always the key to everything. If you want to have an easy time.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue
but no,
on.
It's yeah. That this is one of the avenues. This is one of my opportunities given to me by knowing someone.
Yeah.
Just that was going to be one position, but they asked the things that they asked for were of course C++ and stuff like that, maybe even LabVIEW and stuff. But you know, me being more than likely with your bachelor's, you're not going to have any of this. You're not going to have LabVIEW or you know any real C++.
I had LabVIEW when I was a bachelor's.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
you just need to have the right advisor.
Okay.
Well, if you work in an experimental group, like a condensed matter experimental group, and you are actively doing research in undergraduate, you can get LabVIEW experience.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. If you can do that right away, learn a lot of skills that are valued in industry. If you want to have a backup plan or if you like to have flexibility to be able to move into different industries. So
yeah. I guess a good tip for that is one thing I was kind of thinking about, Juan, is like, how can people like figure out what the heck is even out there, you know? So one thing I came up with, there's a list here that has like a job, maybe like it says like 1,200 different jobs or something.
Yeah, yeah. It says thecareerplanner.com.
Yeah, so the Career Planner has a bunch of different jobs. If you guys just go to like Career Planner or go to one of these things, another good one on there is the APS job board.
Yes.
So the American Physical Society has a job board specifically for you know, like graduates and undergraduates looking for positions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you check those job boards, you can actually just see what the positions are that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So what you should do is you should browse those positions and then see what sounds appealing.
Yeah.
Look at the applications and see what they actually require. So some of them will say like you need like 3 years experience in LabVIEW. You need like 3 years experience in MATLAB.
Mm-hmm.
You'll need to have research experience for 4 years or something.
Yeah.
So look at the requirements, and what you should do is you should try to build your resume towards mm-hmm. those jobs that are interesting to you.
Yeah.
That'll be a way if you want to get ahead. Of course,
exactly.
If you want to take the lazy way, like I've taken the semi-lazy way where I don't want to actually look through jobs and see what they want.
Yeah.
So I just kind of build things in a way that it's already the path that I want to go down anyway.
Yeah.
You're
saying like you maybe you find a compromise, or is it more like you just kind of like, oh, this job is kind of aligned to my interests.
Yeah, that's okay. What I'll kind of do. Like this job has the things that I kind of like.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'll go with it. If you want to really get a job though, and you're dead set on finding jobs, go through a bunch of different applications for a job that jobs that are interesting to you.
Exactly.
And then learn those
common
skills and look at those skills. And if you have some of those skills that they really like, especially the ones that are like buzzy buzzword ones, like agile and shit, like for programming, like you'll get hired like immediately.
Yeah.
So
find the lowest common denominator amongst all those jobs, and then, you know, learn those things while you're in school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or skills are the name of the game. Nobody gives a fuck about your GPA. That's useful, but at the end of the day, like your skills are everything. If you have skills, people don't give a crap what you're doing or what your GPA is or whatever.
I mean,
they just want to know what you can do and how you can make this company function properly.
Like, to be fair, your GPA is a metric of probably measuring how fast you're able to learn something, but also
it's also a metric of if you're going to be able to comply with the company and work well with others.
That's true as well, but no, not necessarily well with others, but I think it's more of like truly to a company, what is the difference between a B student and an A student, you know? So it's, how do you measure 10% of effort?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. So to them, it's like they'd rather take a B student, more than likely, they'd rather take a B student who has a ton of experience mm-hmm. and skills, as opposed to an A student who's has a 4.0, but has very little skills that translate.
Right. This is kind of the 80-20 principle in action.
The Pareto principle in action. There you go.
Right. So, you know, you put 20% of the effort for 80% of the return. So spending all this time just to get that perfect score on your exam is really not a fruitful investment on your, you know, for your future career.
Yeah.
So you really should try to maximize your skill sets as much as possible.
Yeah. Of course, this conversation is maybe tiered a little bit towards like not necessarily theoretical people. Theoretical people have their route is probably academia.
Right. Let's actually go into that.
Yeah.
So if you guys are like a theoretician, pure physicist, you want to just go in that fucking ivory tower as high as you possibly can, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No, remember us little people on the bottom.
Right. You can do that, but that is definitely going to be a long ass and hard ass road. So if you already are a person who sucks at getting grades like me and Juan, really consider being an experimentalist.
Not like, because not, well, we're not stupid. And, you know, we're not saying that you're stupid. We're saying that you're probably more concerned with like building stuff, you know, actually applying things into the lab. You want to get stuff done in the lab. You want to study things. You want to do research. You're not necessarily too preoccupied with getting a perfect A and getting a 4.0 and stuff.
Right.
Your goals are a little bit more tied into research. So as opposed to somebody like a theoretician, right, whose mm-hmm. whole goal is to get a 4.0 to show that they've mastered the subject to a level that even their professor thinks that they're excellent at.
Right.
Yeah.
So theorists, you pretty much got to be on top of the academic game full force. So you got to be you got to be pretty damn good with your grades. Like, yeah, that's like the straight A person is going to go into theory.
Yeah.
Theory groups, and that's the reason, because theory groups don't have a lot of money. Like, if you think about it, what kind of results are they going to be producing?
Mm-hmm.
Not much, right? Mm-hmm. And that's because they're doing everything in theory, and then they send it off to the experimentalists to actually come up with a way to verify this. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So a theorist can only take in like one or two students. So they're only gonna waste their time with the best of the best.
Yeah.
And the only way you can determine that is with grades.
Yeah.
So if your grades are on top, if your grades are up to par, then you have a shot at being a theorist. But even then, it may not even be likely, because I've known straight A students who still couldn't get into theory groups.
Yeah.
And have to wind up getting into experimentalist groups. So
yeah,
you really got to be on your shit grade-wise if you want to be a theorist.
Yes. And it's just tough. It's tough to be a theory student. Theory is something that I think, I mean, we all like it, but at the end of the day, I think, at least for me, I think it's something that I like to think about on my own time or, you know, that kind of thing. If you want to make this a career and say, I want to be a theorist to go do theoretical physics at the beach, then it's probably unrealistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should probably not do that.
Yeah. So if you're going to do theory, also, you got to be mindful that you're probably going to be on the 10 plus year track. So for academia, you're going to have to go to graduate school. You're probably going to have to do postdoc especially if you want to get like a professorship position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at probably a minimum of 10 years.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to work up. So say you come from humble beginnings and you're just a lowly student at, you know, you start off even at community college and you work to your local university, and from your local university, you go to a good master's program, like better than your undergraduate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into a full PhD program that's really great, you know, that's a great school, way better than where you got your master's. You can slowly work up to a postdoc position at an Ivy League school.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You can go all the way up.
Right.
It's possible. Like,
so if you came from a podunk, I mean, not all hope is lost. Like, we know plenty of people who came from random colleges. Like, I came from a kind of, not a random college, but my college was not an Ivy League to start, and I kept working my way up.
Yeah.
You can kind of get to, like you're saying, Juan, where you can get to an Ivy League postdoc position, and then, you know, once people see that you have, like, Harvard on your resume as a postdoc, I mean, you're pretty much in the running for a good academic position, potentially.
Yeah, and that's possible. So if you're one of those people that are like, man, I really want to do theory, you know, but I'm like, I'm nowhere near that, just work hard, work your way up, stick to it.
Yeah.
And but be aware that it's a very, very challenging, mm-hmm. How do you say, environment. Academia is very not challenging. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's vicious. Just
vicious. Yeah, it's just
it's like it's a sink or swim kind of.
It's this very sink or swim environment. This kind of has to do with our play.
Yeah, pay or play mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
It's or pay, pain
pain,
or play.
Pain or play mentality.
This is very much the pain mentality. So if you don't like pain, then
if you're not strongly, a masochist, get out.
Yeah, strongly consider what you. Yeah, it's very much like, even if you love physics, like I love physics, like mm-hmm. nothing else. It'll test your ability to love physics. So if you like anything else besides physics, you better you better consider experimentalist.
So just be aware that very few people actually get academic positions.
Yeah.
It's
a very, very small percentage of people.
The pipeline, you can look this up. It's almost posted everywhere, but yes, just be aware that it's very challenging to get a position like that, and you need to be aware that it's probably only going to get more challenging, because there are a lot of just the way that physics is being advertised nowadays and everything. So
yeah, and I say we don't bullshit, man. I mean, literally, like, you're gonna have to be working so hard that probably you're not gonna have time for socializing.
No,
you may not have a lot of sleep sometimes. You may have to, your diet may suffer. you probably won't have time for any kind of like romantic relationships. Mm. So like all these things you need to really consider. It's do you want to be at the top tier? You will have to make a lot of sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Like you can't. I don't know if it's. I won't say can't because I won't say it's not impossible. But I've never seen it really where you're not going to be able to have that kind of balance like a normal person is going to be able to have.
Yeah,
you're going to have to cut things away.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, not to depress you or anything.
Yeah. But we're just not going to bullshit you. I mean, like, I feel like this podcast, we should be like, the professors can tell you all these things and try to indoctrinate you into the religion, but we need to make sure that people really see the true, you know, there are, not to discourage your dreams. If you really like physics, fucking go for it, I say.
Yeah.
And if you don't even like it, then, you know, you can always decide later. Like, this is what I did. Like, I was in graduate school for 3 years and then I saw the end of the road. So I got out. So you don't have to stay in. Regardless.
Well, you kind of chose to say, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. If you're like, oh, I just want to try theory. Cause why not? I mean, I'm here. I'm going to try this shit. So do it.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, just,
you can always get out. This is not the end of the line.
No, not at all.
Your life is not set in stone. Once you decide on what career path you want to go.
Yeah.
Like, this is the beauty of you know, life. You can choose to do other things that you want and go other places. Like, you're not stuck.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, just keep pushing, keep on keeping on, whatever the hell that saying
as
goes.
As Joe Dirt says.
Joe Dirt.
Yeah, let's see. So I guess
let's see what. Oh yeah, network. Well, let's get into networking.
Yeah, let's do that. That's a huge one. That's a humongous one. So you guys, if you remember the last podcast we did on what was it, one? The one we did in the living room. It was
Can I Be a Physicist?
Yes, Can I Be a Physicist? So we talked a bunch about networking. Networking is it, guys. I mean, if you want to have an easy life and you really want to be a lazy bum and just get the easy track of getting a job, know people.
Yeah.
And this is really one of the most critical and important skills in life anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know people. You got to be friends with people. Yeah. I've known plenty of dudes who are some of the smartest people I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have jobs because they can't work with people. So you have to network.
Yeah. And I can say that even now, even if you're in even if you're interested in experimentalist work, you have to know how to be a team player.
Yeah.
You have to know how to work in a team. You have to know how to,
because people share
people
a lab with you.
People
are going to be fucking pissed at you if you're always just working on your own in the lab and you aren't communicating with them.
Yeah.
And you're misplacing items and you're just using machines whenever you want.
Yeah.
Like, this is, we live in a society. You know,
yes.
you gotta function properly within it.
Yeah, you have to communicate. You have to you have to be comfortable with talking to people and you know, put yourself out there. Talk. You know, you don't have to have like fake friendships or whatever. I mean, just.
But even fake friendships are better than no friendships.
Sure, but be amicable to people, be friendly, be courteous, be, you know, be kind. That goes a long way, you know, for people talking to you and just, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And a lot of the time your incoming class that you're with are probably going to be the people that you're going to make those lasting friendships
right.
with. So.
And remember, these are also going to be the people that are going to be in these industries,
exactly.
in these national laboratories, and in these political positions in the future.
Yeah.
These are the people who you're going to know. Like, these are going to be the next people that take over.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing that I would say to you guys is just like, say yes. You know, people are saying like, let's go hang out, or let's go to a party, or let's go to an event.
Mm-hmm.
Say yes. You know, a lot of times you try to come up with excuses to say, you know, I don't feel like it right now. Of course, if you have a lot of shit to do, don't do that, you know.
Yeah.
But if you can, try to socialize with people, try mm-hmm. to go out, try to do things. I mean, you got to build those connections. Talk to your professors, too. If your professors say, like, you know, can you help us out with this event or something? Say yes.
Yeah.
Try to be in the yes game. This is what Gary Vee always says. He says, mm-hmm. say yes rather than no. People are so in the fucking no game.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be in the yes game. Just see what happens, you know, just see what happens in your life and you'll see how much it will change your position.
Yeah. I think I'm inclined to agree. There are very few things. Yeah. I've said yes to a lot of things a lot of opportunities that have led to a lot of good things.
Yeah.
So just say yes.
Yeah, you got to put yourself out there. If you're really super introverted, you know, you're like really like, fuck, man, I really, you know, get like anxiety from like trying to hang out with people and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, find a buddy, find people, someone you could click with and that can maybe introduce you into mm-hmm. the groups and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So just put yourself out there. You got to do
yeah.
it. You got to do it.
Yeah. So network.
Yes.
Networking just means just make friends along the way. And
maybe even you can give some good tips on this one, because I know you're more introverted than I am.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What would you, could, do you have any like hacks or like really good tips for people who are introverted?
Drink coffee. No, I'm kidding. It's no, I mean like
if, like how to put yourself out there more.
How to do that? So well, you have to be comfortable. I grew up in a big family, so it's a little bit. I was already comfortable with the idea of being around people a lot. So you have to be comfortable sharing space with people and just make yourself uncomfortable at first, you know, hang out with people that you like, first of all, and then kind of just expand that circle little by little and just include more and more people, you know, and you don't necessarily have to be like, I know this one student here that worked in our group. Like, he's a really cool kid. He's an undergrad. He, you know, he's kind of shadowed other members of the group, but I'm like, hey, let's go throw the disc around. Let's go play Frisbee. And he's like, yeah, man, we'll do it sometime. But it's, you know, it's just about stuff like that. Like doing little things like that. We're just like, hey, I know we don't know each other too well, but let's go hang out. Let's go do an activity together.
And then beyond that, what I would say is then when you say, let's play disc together, actually set a day.
Yeah.
You know, once you think of it.
But it's a little bit harder in school, I would say.
You got to plan your stuff.
Yeah.
Planning is really a key thing. Yeah, that's always a work in progress for me, at least.
Me too. So, yeah.
But what I've hacked with planning is, and if I think of it, just fucking set it immediately. So if you say, like, let's throw the disc around, I'll say when. You know, let's do this Saturday. And then if you plan it, you'll be more inclined to do it.
Yeah.
Just immediately do it as soon as it comes to your mind.
Yeah. 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 Very true.
Yeah.
So do that. Do that. Plan things. That's wisdom right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Because you'll be saying, let's throw the disc until the end of the semester, and then you never fucking do it.
And then the summer, and like, oh, dude, I got to go for the summer.
Yeah,
I got to
exactly.
leave home. So
plan it out and just do it. You
just
know?
Do it.
The yes game.
Nike.
Be in the yes business.
Nike, just do it. Official
exactly.
sponsor of Eigen Bros. Unofficial.
I wish.
Unofficial official sponsor.
Damn, if we were getting Nike money, shit. Our cameras wouldn't be looking like this.
Yeah, no. We're sponsored by the the Chinese ripoff version, Ekin. Ekin, it's like upside down.
Ekin.
It's the opposite arrow, like
right.
the mirror flip version of it. Yeah, so just make friends. You know, physics is just about the friends we made along the way. So
wow. Good way to say that one.
It really is. I mean, don't forget to have fun. Making friends too helps you in your classes, because then your peers can give you feedback. You know, you're all struggling together, and there's some, you know, there's a little bit of like trauma-induced, like, bondage there.
There is.
Like, you know, how brothers in arms kind of thing,
right.
you know?
It's like you went to battle.
Yes.
And you have, like, your brothers in arms. It's so true.
100%, man. You ever come out of a test and you're like, man, that was rough, you know? And, you know, the one who doesn't stick around at the end of the exam and doesn't talk, usually is a guy who's an A student, is like, doesn't
right.
talk to anybody. So
he's a theorist, though.
He's probably on that other path. He's like, plebs are below me. But if you're a theory kid and you're that good, talk to people like that. Talk to them. Be like, hey, you know, the exam went okay. You know, I did this and that. But hey, if you guys ever want to study together, we can. You know, and like if you're that high level where you're like, I can use this as a teaching opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of theory guys understand that it's a competition.
Right.
Understand that getting a better grade than other students is part of the
right.
the end goal. And so a lot of them just kind of like, nah, I'd rather just keep
right,
to
right.
myself.
Right.
I get it. It's, you know, game theory, right? So just, but I would advise for you to not have that reputation and just kind of share a little bit of your knowledge, like, you know,
right.
talk to students.
Because then people really won't, like, at the end of the day, when the experimentalist who made C's owns the company that you want to work for, they're going to be like, well, this guy never did anything. He just was a douche.
he didn't care to be a team player, you know?
Right. Right.
But it's a good opportunity for you to also to flex not only your teaching skills, but, you know, test your knowledge as well, like where your limits mm-hmm. are and stuff. I've found moments like that where I know something more than other students and they'll start asking me questions.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I got to go home and think about this a little more, you know, stuff
yeah.
like that. So,
yeah, teaching is really a nice way to solidify your own knowledge.
Yeah.
Quite critical, actually. And actually, I would recommend that highly, like you're saying too, Juan. I'll corroborate with mm-hmm. you. Like, if you're a theorist, I really think you should be tutoring and teaching, because really, you don't really understand a concept as deep as you think unless you can convey that concept yeah. to someone else who thinks differently than you.
Yeah, and I would do it with your peers, because they're at least, mm-hmm. you know, you might be tempted to go be like, I'm going to go be a physics tutor at the local tutoring center, but there it's a one way street. A lot of the time there.
Right.
It's just, you're kind of telling the other person how to do things. But if you're amongst your peers will criticize you.
Right.
Your peers will be like, no, this is wrong. Or no, I don't get this. What do you mm-hmm. mean by this?
They'll challenge you.
Yeah. So do that.
Definitely. So, cool.
Anything else? How did we wrap this up, man?
Let's talk a little bit more about networking. So I guess another mm-hmm. thing with a practical tip is, you know, guys, when you're looking for your job application or when you're looking to get into a job,
mm-hmm.
Well, I guess isn't really networking, but just continuing on,
mm-hmm.
You know, you could do mock interviews at your school. So you can actually go, if you're scared about talking to someone in an interview, you're like, what the hell? I don't even know what to do. I'm not prepared for this at all.
Yeah.
Go check in your school and see if they actually do mock interviews, because a lot of times they will.
Yeah.
And also they do resume workshops a lot of times at schools too. Like, I got my resume completely built in undergraduate just lazily by going to workshops. So people would just edit for me and they would say like, oh, you need to change this and this and that. And then I would just literally just do that. And my resume was finished with ease. You know, I just spent like an hour in that workshop or 30 minutes in the workshop, and it was just an effortless process to create my resume.
Yeah. Go to those seminars, go to those CV workshop seminars or whatever,
yeah.
and resume seminars, and just,
they're really useful because yeah. they've seen thousands of resumes and yep. they know what
works.
Employers want and what they expect,
what works and what doesn't work. And they, a lot of times they have some industry person there to, like, you know, 'cause they'll tell you what they want to see.
Yeah.
They tell them what they want to see and stuff. So,
right.
And the schools really want you to get a job because
yeah.
that makes them look good.
100%
in getting students to come in. So
100%.
Those aren't there just for whatever. Just
right.
Go.
So I would highly recommend that, especially to people who are like lazy at like getting those kind of things done, which is
yeah.
generally a lot of physicists.
Yeah,
you don't like to do your resume and all that crap.
Yeah.
Just go to the workshop, because then it makes it way easier for you, because
yeah.
it forces you to commit your time to it,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, you're put in a position where you're just like,
yeah.
I guess I'm here. I might as well do my resume anyway.
Yeah. And just speaking of, I don't know if I said this last time, but I kind of wanted to add this in from our Can I Do Physics
okay.
thing. But one of the ways that I sort of padded my CV, well, not padded, I put in work, but I was invited into a research group. I started my college career as a undergraduate research student.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically did undergraduate research for basically the majority of time I was in my undergrad. So there are programs, I guarantee you there are funded programs at your university, if it's like a decently sized university, that pay for maybe summer internships,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe an advisor who will be willing to take you on.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be shy about doing any of that just to get that stuff on your CV. It's really important that you
right.
don't waste your summers. Like even if, say, you want to take a calculus class in the summer just to get ahead a little bit,
it's not going to be as useful.
It's not going to be as useful as you doing research. So just do the research, you know, put yourself in a lab, put yourself learning these important skills, and yeah.
Absolutely.
And you can get paid doing it. That's what I mean. Just look at this, go to your, even if you can't find anything online, go to the College of Sciences dean or director or something. They're not shy about students who are, they're not shy to students that want to make an effort to improve their lives or whatever. So mm-hmm. I've done that a couple times where I've just done like a almost cold call or a cold email and just been like, hey, I'm a student that's interested in doing research, blah, blah, blah. Can we meet and discuss and talk about like opportunities or something?
Right.
So
that actually brings up another
thing. That's networking in a way.
Yeah. That actually kind of reminded me of another point though with, mm-hmm. If you graduate, so let's imagine you graduated and you're just an average student. You didn't really do any research. Uh-huh. Maybe you did a final project at the end of the day, uh-huh. but you still kind of feel like, my resume is not really that great. I've got like a couple things on there. I need to make it stronger. Uh-huh. You can actually go to apply to jobs that do internships. So yeah. Some jobs will actually do like, so some of the things are like incubators or internships where they will actually take you in and they will allow you to learn the skills that you need to do to be able to work in their environment. Mm-hmm. So they'll pay for your training and everything mm-hmm. for you to work for them. So those are another option. If you, let's say, you really don't know how to apply to the job market. You really don't have that many skills. You kind of just did physics only, and you need a way to try to get a job.
Yeah.
Those internships are a nice way to go in there and actually get your skills up. So some of those are paid. Other times they're not. So I would also recommend doing unpaid internships if you need to, too, because unpaid internships will get you money.
Yeah.
You know, if you can actually stomach it, and let's say you got to live with your parents for, you know, a few months or a year, that could still yield you some good results. Because if you did an unpaid internship for Google mm-hmm. and then they give you a position, then you're set to go, right?
Yeah.
So there's many options you can do. You know, free labor is a really enticing way for people to take you in. You know, if you have some skill and you offer your services for free, you know, people are going to be interested in taking you in.
Yeah, I mean, that it sucks for the time being, but it shows that you have a level of commitment to your craft.
Right.
And
you're honing your skills at that time.
And you're
too.
Honing your skills, and it's the companies don't necessarily, they kind of see it as like as a plus. They what you're willing to do to to that you really want this job kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and of course you could always go the entrepreneur route. That to me is the best way.
Yeah, of course. It's not unsaid that, you know, a lot of these big companies that form, it's just guys probably quitting, not going to graduate school and just trying to form a company around an idea that they have.
Yeah.
So
get a couple like-minded buddies with you.
Yeah.
You know, you guys collect a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
You know, the more the better. You know, you got seven guys, rent a two-bedroom, one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
You guys sleep on sleeping bags.
Yeah.
You know,
and just work.
Yeah, and just work your asses off. And I mean,
you can
that's
make
a great
industry,
that's a great way to do things too. Honestly, if I was younger, I mean, if I had enough people to rent a one-bedroom apartment with seven people, I'd probably do that. So,
There are ways to do a lot of it. And, you know, a lot of these big ideas nowadays, say if you just want to make money. I mean, a lot of the money nowadays is in apps and just finding the next big thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to make an app with a couple of my friends.
Did you?
Yeah, but it didn't go well, obviously.
Do you mind sharing your idea?
Yeah, it's... you can look it up in, it was a very rudimentary idea, but it was before Snapchat and Instagram kind of came up with their own versions of it.
I think you told me about this.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
The app is called GIF Fun, and it's, you can find it on iOS and it's a simple little silly mechanic where we just wanted people to like, we put a photo of your face on a GIF, so you can kind of like, it does funny animations and stuff. It's silly, but then Snapchat, of course, came out like maybe a year later with like their own kind of
super advanced augmented reality.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. So it was kind of like,
tracking.
Oh, okay, all right. It was like, okay, dang. Okay, we kind of, but it nonetheless, it served as an interesting like little project and how to get things done. And I mean, just amongst three people, we kind of figured it out. And,
cool.
And yeah, I mean, you could try a bunch of different things. I mean, that was just one thing that didn't go well. So,
right. I would highly recommend the entrepreneur route, especially while you're young too.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I'm just starting in the game too. Yeah. So one of the things I'm trying to do is learn how to make short-term money. But it's really, it's been great for me so far. I mean, it's been so fun just being able to do whatever I want to do right now, even though I'm not really making any money.
Yeah.
But it's really rewarding, I think, if you're a person who likes to kind of build their own stuff and try to make your own content or whatever you want to do. Uh-huh. You know, it's the ultimate freedom, right? But of course, the big price to pay is, you know, you might be out of making a lot of money really quickly, and it might take you a long time to actually do it. But I would highly recommend it if you can, especially in, if you're an undergraduate with a lot of like-minded individuals who are entrepreneurial, you know, start it. Don't wait on it. Don't second guess. Just do it. You know, you guys are young enough to do it. I mean, you have so much time in life.
Yeah. Guaranteed it's easier to make money when you have money. But if you have talent, sometimes that can push you. If you come up with enough of something that's new and interesting and not, I don't want to say revolutionary, but something that's new and interesting, you can probably get people to buy in.
Yeah.
So just if you, yeah, like Terrence is saying, if you have a like-minded group of people who are smart and talented, then yeah, go for it.
For sure.
So this is it, folks. We hope that this conversation was at least illuminating.
Yeah. And if you guys have any other hacks, you know, let's say the question, I guess, for the comments is, do you guys have any other hacks for graduating physicists or scientists who are trying to figure out what to do when they're going into a field?
Yeah.
What are some other things or tips that you guys found useful in your time?
Yeah, please leave them in the comments and stick around for the outro.
You made it, guys.
You made it. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So just to make sure you guys leave a comment answering our question.
And a like.
You know, let us know what you think. A comment, a like, a subscribe, a share, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Follow us on all the social media stuff we just said earlier. And
yep. So that's at EigenBros on Twitter. And then that's EigenBros.com. You know, Spotify, Google Play, Apple for the audio. And then check us out on TikTok, guys.
Yeah. And thank you for listening.
See ya.
All right. See ya.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?